Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills Pod Jesus Campaign Service. Today's teaching is a Bible lesson from the book of Revelation. Bishop Dag will reveal the two great prophetic harvests that God has predestined to happen on this earth. This Monday's message focuses on soul winning and is a call to raise support from the whole church worldwide to help pursue the burning vision to preach the gospel everywhere. May you be remembered as one of the people that helped bring about a great accomplishment for God and turned many souls to righteousness. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Are you excited?
Yes.
And blessed. Father, thank you for today and for this Healing Jesus campaign special service. We're excited and we thank you for your blessings today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated at home. Please sit up. Sit up. Don't lie down. And, Yes, I hope you're wearing your Sunday best. Beautiful. We are in a studio here having the Healing Jesus campaign service. And it's a great blessing. Thank you, all of you who are joined, who are part of this campaign today. The purpose of the service is to talk about soul winning and to raise support from the whole church worldwide to help us to persist in preaching the gospel until we drop dead. Amen.
Amen.
That's the last day of this talking, is the day that I'm gone. But until then, we are on the same path of winning souls and preaching the gospel everywhere. Amen. And so we are launching the Intercontinental Healing Jesus campaign today. And we have been on the African continent, so we are going intercontinental, I believe. And so God is going to help us. And I know that all of us who are watching and supporting, God is going to bless you. So we want to first of all take our offering, and then we'll move right on this morning in Psalm 30. It's a prophetic offering. And I want you to have faith in Psalm 30, verse 6. It says, "And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." This offering is a prophetic offering entitled, "Turn My Mourning into Dancing Offering." All right? Now, my offerings have names, titles, or themes. And this is turning my mourning into dancing offering. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that your mourning is going to turn into dancing.
Amen.
But read Psalm 30 and verse 6. It says, "In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." May that come to pass in your life, that you'll never be moved. Verse 7 says, "Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." It's only when God favors you that your mountain can stand strong. Your mountain represents your life, what you are, what you exist for, who you are, what you are doing. All right? So it is only when he favors you that your mountain can stand strong, can withstand the storms. If you go to Mount Everest, you see the storms all the time on these high mountains. They always tell you that the weather is unpredictable. It can change suddenly. So you may be going up, or you may be planning an excursion, or even some sites, you know, going on a cable car, and they would say that the weather is changing, it's changed, and you can't go anymore. So if you are there on a holiday, you may miss whatever, because of a change of weather. Yes. So, but mountains, they stand strong. So after the weather finishes, it's still there.
Yeah.
and you can go after the weather. So whatever weather is in your life, after the weather, you're standing strong. Amen. I cried, and thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. So as soon as God hides from you his presence, trouble begins. I cried to thee, O Lord. Unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Now, what profit is there for us when we go down to the pit, when we are all dead? What can we do? That's why I said that this thing, by the grace of God, we are on it till the day that we drop dead. When we are dead, that's it. When I'm dead, I'll not ask you for anything again to help, to do anything. That's it. Say bye-bye. Bye. You can attend my funeral if you want. If you don't, you can send a text or something that you are aware. That's all. But until we are gone, and don't think I'll die before you. You should rather be praying for yourself to live longer. Yes. You'll be shocked. Huh? Okay. By the grace of God, we are crossing with ease. What profit is there? What is the use of us when we are in a grave? When you are in a grave and you even want to redirect your wealth or your support or your money, you cannot. Even whilst you are alive, you can even go sick to the point where you cannot do anything. You cannot do anything because the strength is not there. Sometimes your mind goes off and whatever you say, from that point onward, it's not accepted legally because they all know that your mind is a little weak. So if you even take decisions, then they'll say it is diminished capacity. You can't, it's not true. It's not true. The one you said when you were well, which is now, you get it? That's the one. Yeah. So if you want to do something for God, this is the time. Amen. What profit is there in my blood? There is no profit. What profit is there when I go down to the pit? Nothing. Shall the dust praise thee? You cannot praise thee. Shall it declare thy truth? No dust can declare truth. Maurice Cerullo is in a grave. Oh, I don't know if he's buried yet. Evangelist Bonke is in a grave. What can he say? T.L. Osborne is in a grave. He cannot say anything anymore. Yonggi Cho is in a serious condition. The messages I have received. What can he say in this condition? Very little. Kenneth Hagin is gone. So all this is a matter of time. Yeah. And the dust cannot declare truth anymore. No more preaching of no gospel. It's over. Mercy. Yes. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned my mourning, for me my mourning, into dancing. God can do it. So the God who wants you to do something for him can also do something for you. And what he's saying today in this first and very important major offering is that he is the God who can turn your mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Now today, as we give our first and important offering, I want everyone watching to listen carefully. If you are part of humanity, these are words I heard from Catherine Coleman. If you are part of humanity, you will cry. One day, you will experience things, something that makes you sad. And if you are part of humanity, a day will come where you experience sadness which you cannot shake off. And a day will come where when you wake up in the morning, you know that there is something wrong before you start thinking you feel that there's something wrong if you are part of this world. You can write it down. I told a brother, I've even forgot, but he sent me a message. He's not in Ghana. He said, you were standing on a car park with me and you told me that the difference between me and you is pain. I was surprised. Yes. So, when he says he turned my mourning into dancing, you are looking at a God who has power to turn your mourning into dancing. That where you should have been crying, you'll be laughing and rejoicing. And so in this very first special offering, today everything that we give is going towards our Healing Jesus campaign, intercontinental Healing Jesus campaign, going outside Africa, the African continent, to the continents. How many think that is about time that we hear of Healing Jesus in some other places other than Africa? Beautiful. Huh? Would you like to have Healing Jesus to say that somewhere where you are? And it's happening as we speak. It takes a long time to develop things, but it's happening. And I believe that everything that we give is a blessing. And, you know, I never used to think so, but now I think so. You know, one day, somebody gave me an offering many, many, many years ago. In those days, few people ever gave me offerings. But that person gave me an offering. It affected me. It affected me. It was a communication from the person to me which transcended words. Yes. And on a few occasions, I've experienced such things. One day, a sister came from home. She didn't have money. She was a poor person. And she came to me, and what she had received from the house, she brought it to me as an offering. And I remember those days, I was a student. A loaf of bread and a tin of Milo. I'm sure she's watching me. I will never forget till when I'm in my grave. Because it ministered to me up till today. There is no amount of money she can ever give or anything she can ever do that can match that bread. It's true. Yeah. And a tin of Milo. I will never forget it. Because it was from her heart. And it meant so many things that transcend words. I'm trying to explain to you today that when Cornelius gave his offering, and the Bible says his alms and his prayers ascended, you must know that the offering you give has a meaning, and sometimes it says things which you can't say with your mouth. Yes. It says things. Sometimes you may say to God, I love you, but it doesn't register. Or I like you, and doesn't work. But sometimes what you give, what you do, what you are able to present, sometimes can speak louder and stronger than even words that you may speak. Sometimes our words lose power, especially when they are alternative words or words that have been shown not to mean much. A word like I love you, it has almost lost it's like petrol that has turned to water. It's lost the power to fuel an engine. That's why you hear in current times, you say, I like you, or I like the way you like me, or I really like you. It sounds even more powerful because it's replacing the love. So today, I want you to remember soul winning and remember the power of God for your life. This power, the power to turn your mourning into dancing, that comes from God. Only God can do. But there are some mournings that cannot go. You see, if you are young, you wouldn't understand it till you see something that cannot change. And you realize that you've met something. that cannot change and you cannot change, but your heart is broken. So today, wherever you are, I want you to dip into the deepest part if you are joining us. And I want us to present your tithes, your offerings, everything you have. Assume that this is the one and only offering. Because the internet may go off, or there will be light off, or there will be something, or you fall asleep, or you have gone to poo-poo at the time that the second offering. I hope not, please. Try to delay all these things. So after, then you can do all that, all right? So take your special offering, all right, this morning, and everything we give, everything in every country, you can sow a special seed to Healing Jesus campaign. Do something that will tell God something you cannot say with your mouth. Yes. And today I want to mention these numbers to you. 1, 10, 100, and 1,000, and 10,000. Because I want you to know there are numbers in the world. What do I mean by that? I'm saying 1, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000. I want these words to be in your head. Because you can give an offering of $10,000, cedis, naira, pounds, euros, 1,000. The details are different from the normal offering. So please look at it. Healing Jesus campaign. All right. Please look at it and give on this particular day. This is the global Healing Jesus campaign. International, everywhere, everybody can give. All right, the details are a little different, but if you can't get the details, give in the old way. We will see what you give on Sunday. We will find a way of healing. Just will find a way of getting back our things. Beautiful. Everybody must give. So look on the screen. You know, sometimes when the thing comes on the screen, just take a photograph of it so that it doesn't have to stay for long. Or take a screenshot. You get it? You are trying to write the number down. It takes a long time. Just take a screenshot or take a picture of it, and then you can use it. All right? International people can also give by World Remit, SendWave, Account Transfers, EcoBank, Account Name, Healing Jesus Campaign. Beautiful. A lot of things there. And today is going to be your biggest giving.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, today is going to be your biggest giving. And I want you to listen very carefully to the short message I'm going to give in a few minutes. And then we are going to pray for salvation and for healing. Amen. There's a healing part of this service that is very important. I want anybody who is not well in any way, we are all going to be praying together to the Lord, and I know that God's going to touch you right at the end of this time. Amen. So just stay on. In Ghana, normal church, to some extent normal, is going to resume from next week. Am I saying the right things? Yeah. So everybody watching, normal church is somehow resuming a different way. All your denominations, churches, everybody will tell you exactly what is happening. But we are allowed to meet with social distancing. So when you come, there will be social distancing, but normal. All right? So just come and we spread ourselves out in the church. That's basically what we're going to do. Am I saying the right things? Okay. So take your offering and your tithe, please. Don't say my tithe is my special offering. Your tithe is your tithe. It's also doing something. Amen. Then your offering is also your offering. Today is special, Healing Jesus. So pay your tithe, pay your special offering, join in, and this is a great blessing. Father, thank you so much for all those who are part of this special service. We are very, very grateful, blessed, and I thank you for mourning into dancing offering. All sadness is turned into joy. Even if we are not mourning, but even a little sad or a little depressed, thank you that you have the power to turn it around into some kind of a joy, happiness, and relief, Lord, in our lives and our hearts and our soul. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. Ooh. I am so grateful, Lord. Thanks for reaching, thanks for saving. Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Ooh. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. Oh, yeah. I am so grateful, Lord. Thanks for reaching, thanks for saving. Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing. Far, so far, so far away. When you reached out to save me, I couldn't believe you wanted me with you. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Ooh. Jesus, my Savior. You were determined to reach me, Lord. You sent your very best man to reach out to me, to talk to me, and to rescue me. Nothing could hold you back, my Lord. You did everything to reach.
Teacher. Blessing. We can see that the Lives Healing Jesus campaign has touched over the years, and our little and our much from all over the world has supported and helped the campaign to do all the powerful things God is using it to do. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Well, welcome again to our Healing Jesus Global Service. From we're streaming to over 90 nations, we're streaming over radio, over Healing Jesus TV, and all denominational pages within the UD, and it's a blessing. Amen. Well, we are privileged to have in our midst the convener of the United Denominations with us, and we want to hear from him, and he's going to introduce our preacher for today. So put your hands together. Let's welcome the convener. Amen.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. Is it not a blessing that the Lord has gathered us from across the nations of the world? Amen. Amen. It's overwhelming to experience today, you know, because I'm just going back to the little church that the Lord gave to us many, many years ago, and that the challenges right from when meeting at the Kolobu canteen sometimes was not predictable. And I remember somewhere in the early 90s, a man of God, Dr. Friday Nwato, you know, was one of the early international preachers at our church at Kolegono, preaching and prophesying that we're going to have 30 branches. He said the church was going to have 30 branches. You know, and we were shocked because we didn't even have one branch. So to think that we're going to have 30 branches, but today, by the grace of God, we are talking about 18 denominations in more than 90 countries, you know, close to 4,000 churches, thousands of pastors, you know, over 100 bishops, so many church buildings, cathedrals, and it's all been a blessing. And through the obedience and response to the calling of one man, the prophet, our apostle, the evangelist, and our founder, Bishop Duckworth Mills. Today, I believe that we are all gathered to support Healing Jesus Crusade, which is the evangelistic wing of this ministry. And it's exciting to hear about the new move. Now we are moving into intercontinentalism. We are moving away from not only remaining in Africa, but we are moving into continents. Hallelujah. Yeah. Which means that your prayers and your support must be huge. Wow. Did I see you saying huge? Huge. I couldn't feel it. Your support must be hot. Huge. Hallelujah. And let me give you some extra interesting facts about Healing Jesus Crusade. Started in 2004. All right. And I think that many, many of you watching us were not even born. But thank God that we are alive to experience it. You know, as at now, over 13 million souls have been won. The Crusades have been in 27 countries, 201 crusades, 570 nights. Total distance covered is over 84,000. And the combined mileage is over 1.7 million kilometers. Amazing, amazing. I did not feel your appreciation for all this. And on behalf of the whole of the UD, I really want to thank God for our presiding bishop, for the years of sacrifice, the years of dedication to this cause. I remember something that he's been saying, maybe many of you have not heard. He said, when he decided to start the crusade, he said, I decided that even if nobody comes, I will still do it. Even if nobody comes, he was determined. And that determination has not abated. It has become stronger and stronger. And we thank God for his passion for soul winning. So today, with Jesus' joy, from more than 90 countries, from 18 denominations, millions of us watching across the nations of the world, I want you to stand to your feet. Let's do it. Let's clap our hands and let's welcome the evangelist, Bishop Doug Heward Mills. Go ahead.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you trust.
Is there anything too hard for me?
Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. Oh, everything,
yes,
everything.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this amazing Healing Jesus campaign service. Bless everyone that is a part of it. Bless all of us who support it. Heal us also of our diseases, our weaknesses, our infirmities. Forgive us for our sins. Grant us another chance to serve you better. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, this afternoon, morning, evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are, my greatest thanks to God for all that He has done for Healing Jesus campaign. I want to thank the convener for supporting the campaign with the UD, because he's the head of the UD now, all right? I'm just the founder. Hallelujah. So we are moving on to the next generation. So the church that you know has been run all these years. We started in the single church. We had myself, Bishop Saki, Bishop Eddie, and then it has been evolving and evolving. And so we are trying very hard to move on so that it does not depend on me and the same old team that we are all used to, so that we have more futuristic leadership. Amen. Amen. And that is what that's why we're having denominations. Our vision is that every country will have its own denomination. Because if you take the Methodist Church, it's a denomination in Ghana. It's not connected to the Methodist Church in the UK. And the Anglican Church is its own denomination here. It's not connected to the Anglican Church in the UK. So that's why you see that every country can be a huge ministry And it's like on its own in every nation, it's like a series of things going on there. You cannot really connect it except through maturity to other things. Amen. So we are praying for huge denominations. So we thank you, Mr. Convener. And I think the Archbishop, we also have an Archbishop now, is also going to bring a greeting to all of you at a point. And so we have more things. We have things you don't know about. All right. What a church. What a blessing. You should be proud of your church or thankful for your church having all these. And, you know, the Bible says, as a good man out of his treasure brings forth things both new and old. So you don't only feature the old. You also feature new. But you keep the old. So all my old relationships and friendships are, I always thank God. I stay with the same people. But doesn't mean that we don't bring up new. If you don't bring up new, you become like, excuse me to say, Black Stars. You know, we always have only one striker. And it's like, if he is not able to score. I don't know if it's a good example, but is it a good example? Yeah. It's like we have only one main person. And if that person doesn't work, it's like there's, we don't have other wild people. So we need to have wild people in series. Yes, people that are on the bench, people that are unseen, people that are, and then we release. So the good man, look at the scripture, Matthew 13, verse 52. Every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So out of the treasure of the church, we are able to produce new things like our own Archbishop here, our own convener, and other positions that we have. We have now a role of a senior apostle and other administrative bishops, things we have never had before. But a good, what is it? Again, put the scripture, a scribe which is instructed in the kingdom is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So we have old and we have new, and they are all working. That's how come we have First Love Church, and we still have the Kodesh and all these other powerful, which are all part of this service. So this is a special service that we are all involved in, because we are all involved in winning souls. All right. So this morning is a short message, so I just want you to pay attention. And my subject is the two harvests. The two harvests. All right? The two harvests. All right? So, Revelation chapter 14.
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 14, we see a prediction of the two harvests. Okay? And it says, and I looked. All right, I looked, and what did I see? No. Not that. Revelation 14, and I looked, verse 14, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the white cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. All right? So that is the first harvest. All right? Now, the second harvest. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. And with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. All right? Now, in this prophecy, we see two great harvests. The first, and both of them, are entrusted to angels. There are some confusing things you'll see in the Bible. And one of them is, you'll see in the book of Revelations, an angel having the everlasting gospel. An angel with the gospel. And then you also see here angels who are entrusted to the harvest. Look at Revelation 14 and verse 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, every kindred and tongue and people. So here again you see angelic activity associated with the gospel being preached. Now if you want to initiate, activate, or involve angels in your life, one of the things is to do what they are doing. The reason why servants meet each other is because they are working in the same house. The gardener will meet the security man, who will meet the maid, who will meet the chef, who will meet the butler, who will meet the cook, who will meet the... Because they are all servants in the same house. They get to know each other. Some servants have even gotten married by living together in the same house. If you have the experience, you'll find it. Because you can't help meeting, interacting with, or getting close to fellow servants who are working in the same house. Now, when you work for God, and you do what angels are doing, you get what I'm saying? You can't help but have a lot of interaction with these angels who are doing the same work that you've been asked to do. And that is why when John would try to kneel down before the angel said, no, no, don't do it, for we are all servants of the Lord working together in his house. So you can't just kneel down and worship me. You can't worship me. Who am I to worship? It's like the gardener worshiping the chef. Or the chef worshiping the security man. Or the security man worshiping the maid. You get it? You can't do that. All right? Look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, don't do that. I am thy what? Fellow servant. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. I'm one of the brothers in the system. You get it? So you can't worship me. Why am I that you worship me? I beg you. Right? Now, back to Revelation chapter 14. We see two harvests. The harvest of grain. And then the harvest of grapes. All right? Now, the first harvest was an angel that had been sent to reap. And was connected also to this great angel that has the everlasting gospel. So you see that God has two great prophetic harvests that are supposed to happen in this earth, on this earth. The first is the harvest of the souls that have to be saved. in this world. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, 38, and so on, you see where Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest, all right, that he will send laborers into his harvest. So the souls of this world are called the harvest. So God is expecting for us to see the world as a harvest field, not as a place to make money. See things in the right way. Then that's when you make money. Amen. So God expects us to see it as a harvest field. And he expects us to tackle the harvest. All right? Matthew 24 and verse 14. Jesus tells us clearly that the gospel, all right, in verse 14, he says, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Then something will happen. Do you get it? So the gospel is the first harvest of the two harvests, the preaching of the gospel and the reaping of souls across the world. All these crusades that we showed in the video, they are harvesting of thousands of people easily. I can tell you that for almost everybody who stands at the crusade ground, virtually every single person gives his life to Jesus. There's nothing like coming to the crusade and you don't give your life to Jesus. It's tautology. What is tautology? Repeating, yes, it's a kind of tautology to even count the souls and say these ones are saved and these ones are not saved. Because virtually everybody easily gives his life to Christ, including those from other religions. I've led thousands of people from every other religion. They believe in Jesus. They give their life to Jesus Christ. Some of them are not allowed to convert openly. Or not some, most of them. But they still give their life to Jesus. And in their hearts, they believe in Jesus. Amen. If they are free, they will choose. Okay? Now, the Bible is telling us that we should expect this harvest, all right, to come, followed by another harvest. All right? So that's why I said this gospel shall be preached. This gospel. And then the end shall come. So there are going to be many things. Earthquakes, tremors, pestilences, of which we are seeing some. Wars, rumors of wars, and so on. But none of these things is the end of the world. None of these things is the end. And Jesus outlined all these things and said, look, there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars, kingdoms will rise against kingdoms, nations against nations. That's international wars and intercontinental wars. You get it? But this is not the end. And in 1914, when the First World War started, that's where we first heard the word First World War. We never heard that term before. Then we heard again in 1945. Then we heard the term Second World War. And since then, people have been wondering, Third World War. You see, but these international wars, we've never seen them like that, like 1945. In the history of the world. Then also pestilences, which are epidemics. Yes, we've had epidemics. There have been epidemics of different things. But this one, we have never seen anything like this. I don't think in the history of the world there has been anything that has so affected the whole world without exception. The real sense of the world. Yes, the real sense of the pandemic. Pan means all. There's nothing like that. And so you see the increase and you can see the potential for more. Yes, there's a potential for more. Everywhere is affected. I saw yesterday Russia have announced they are going to do mass vaccination in October. So you see that no matter who you are, the world powers are now using every technology, medical knowledge, and every scientist in every country, do you get it, are rising up, American ones, Russian ones, British ones, Chinese, everybody is using all technology to fight something which has, I mean, affected everyone. And yet it is not the end of the world. Yes. Then comes earthquakes, which again, there's no answer for. You get what I'm saying? And if, for instance, there's an earthquake in London, you know, and if there's something like that, you cannot even imagine it. With the underground tubes and the things there, you wouldn't want to know about it. Deep in the earth, you know. God forbid. And if there is, you shall escape in Jesus' name. Ish, you'll be outside in Jesus' name. And there'll be famines. And there have been famines and so on in diverse places. But there is one thing that is so important that must happen. And as you read on, Matthew 24, verse 8 and verse 9 and so on, you find out that he says that they shall deliver you to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations. And you can see there's increasing hatred for Christianity in the world. There's increasing hatred for Christianity. Never has been like this. You get it? Anything that represents Christianity, whatever, and you see that in many nations where there's a president who's openly supporting Christianity and supporting Christian values, is very hated, and all his supporters are quiet till the election time, then they come out to vote. And it shows you how much they support those things. All right? And iniquity shall abound. Do you see? And the love of many, that iniquity, I mean, trafficking of drugs, trafficking of human beings, slave trade, slavery, you know, wickedness, murder. We never heard of certain murders in certain nations. I mean, there are places you cannot say the number of people killed in Chicago is the same as the number of Americans who died in Iraq. Yes, in 1 year, you know. And it's like in terms of dangerous places in the world, you have America as one of the dangerous places. Amazing. And it's as though God is trying to show that your money and your knowledge and your technology cannot save you from the predictions. You see, one of the things that we need to learn, and I learned that from Derek Prince, is that the prophecies are literal and not metaphorical. It's not a metaphorical earthquake. It's not a symbolic pandemic or epidemic or pestilence. It's not metaphorical. It's not a spiritual famine. It's a real famine. All the words of Jesus were literal and true and have come to pass literally. And that iniquity shall abound. In verse 12, it's literal. And then verse 13, and he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Then verse 14 comes up. Wow. The key verse, that the gospel, that is the activity which we are engaged in now, you understand, shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. So we are now becoming involved greatly in the last prophetic work. Now you see, when you work for somebody, you must try to understand what the person is trying to do and then try to flow with what the person is trying to flow with. That's when you get the greatest blessing. But when you don't understand what the person is trying to do, you don't flow with the person. God is bringing this world to a conclusion. We can all see that the confusion is too much. It's not going to work. How things are, it's not going to work. It will never work. Yes, we can't continue. So the world is going to come to an end. And there are going to be two great harvests. And this is one. The great harvest of the world. And notice why the gospel will be preached. Not that the nations will even change. But as a witness to them that this is just for you to remember. As a witness against you that I came. And I spoke. I lifted my hand and I said, this is Jesus. You can't say I didn't come. If you take a country like South Africa, they can't say they didn't hear the gospel, we didn't come there. We traveled for 2 years around the whole country. Huh? 28 cities in South Africa. Only South Africa. Wow. It's a country that I've preached more in than any other country. Wow. Yes. 28 cities of campaigns. Yes. City after city. Traveling, moving around. Yeah, you can't say. Now, two great harvests are determined. The first one will be entrusted with this angel, and here we can move with angels. And that is why I noticed that since Healing Jesus started, I noticed supernatural support and blessing on something that should have even drained us as a ministry of strength and of whatever. But no, it has not been so. We have rather grown more. It is now that we have had denominations and grown more and prospered more. Yes. Amazing. We have never engaged in more building churches. As I speak now, there's a special project I'm doing. It's just 33 cathedrals with offices. They are all on the way. Millions of dollars. I've never engaged in at the same time. All are the same. That's apart from the ones that we've been showing you on the pictures. The ones I show you on the pictures, those are different ones. These are a new one. Yes. Huge cathedrals and offices. Beautiful. In different countries. I've never done that before. But I'm saying that the support is huge because there's a supernatural element involved in this harvest, because that's what God is doing. Even if people are not preaching the gospel, that's what God is doing. He's preaching the gospel. That's the first harvest. The second harvest, and my message is only two harvests, so this is the second. You can imagine how short my message is today. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle. Now this is the second harvest, that is after the harvest of the gospel. And another angel which had power over fire and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, say, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe, red. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. Now, the wine, this is the harvest of grapes. So the first is the harvest of the corn. Now is the harvest of the grapes. Symbolically, in the Bible, the grapes releasing their juice, do you see, is symbolic of the wrath of God. The wine press of the wrath of God. You press the grapes. So how they used to produce the grapes was they pile all the grapes there and they have people to go in and jump on the grapes. And as they jump on the grapes, it squeezes out the red juice from the grapes. And then the grapes, the juice comes out, which is what they use for the wine. And the longer it stays, the more valuable it is for those who drink wine. Is it true or is it not true? Yes, okay. In the beginning, it is just juice, grape juice. Then it turns into whatever. So symbolically, pressure, fire comes on and we stamp on the world, and the blood of the people are going to come out. The Bible says that unto the horses' bridles. Now a horse, it says the vine press was trodden with outside the city, and blood came out of the wine press unto the level of the horse bridle. Now, when you talk of a horse, you get it. You sit on the horse. Can you imagine? You sit on the horse and you're holding the bridle. All right? And so the blood is going to come up above the level of the legs to the stomach of the horse and come all the way up to the head, which is up here. And blood is going to spread to 1,600 furlongs of blood. And Derek Prince asked a question. Do you think it is metaphorical blood? It's not metaphorical blood. Now, 8 furlongs is 1 mile. So calculate how many miles it is. 8 furlongs is 1 mile. I know that because of horse racing. We used to have 8 furlongs was 1 mile. Yeah. How many miles is that? 600. So that's 20 something. 200 miles. Good. 200 miles. At the height of the horse bridle. That's the judgment that is coming on the world. Wow. Yeah. And the first harvest is the harvest of souls. All with angelic activity. Supernatural angelic activity. supporting this great effort. That's what's happening in the world. You want to know what's happening in the world? I'm giving you the news. Hey. I'm telling it to you before it happens. These are the two great harvests. So it's our duty, prophetically, this is what we must do. That's why I'm urging everybody. We are going to the nations of the world. And Intercontinental Healing Jesus campaign is beginning. Because all the equipment and so on for the moving from islands to the other continents and other parts of the world is virtually almost, it's not 100%, but almost done. And then hopefully Russians are bringing vaccination, others are bringing vaccination. Maybe it will be over. We don't know. And if it does, it's for a short season. Yeah, because you know something else is coming. How many know that something else is coming? What we have seen, we can see that this is just a sign of God's power in the earth. Yeah. He has shown his power. He has shown us that, look, I can change the whole world. That you see that a human being cannot talk to another human being. Man to man again. Yes. Everybody wears a mask. We don't even know what we are doing. Yeah. It's amazing. Isaiah 17. Isaiah 17. Verse 5. And it shall be as when the harvest man gathereth the corn. I want you to see the concept of the two harvests by the prophet Isaiah. It shall be as when the harvest man gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm. And it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. So you see here, gathering of the corn, which is the good thing that Jesus saw, that you see the harvest is white already. That's the corn. It's white. Souls are always seen as corn. Corn. Souls that must be reaped. Souls are seen as corn in the Bible. The harvest of corn. Then you move to the harvest of judgment. Isaiah 17, verse 5, verse 6. Yet, so as soon as he finishes with verse 5, Isaiah 17, verse 5, then he moves to verse 6. All right? And he says, yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it as the shaking of an olive tree. Two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bowl. Four or five in the fruitful branches, saith the Lord. So, you see, we finish with corn, then we come to gleaning grapes. Shaking of the grapes and removing of the grapes for stamping out the blood of the grapes. Verse 7. At that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Listen, my dear friend, let us have respect now without being forced to see things, and have respect to the Holy, our Maker, our God. As a church, this is not time to praise ourselves or to say things are going well, God is blessing us, we are moving from victory to victory. No. This is the time to forget about all that we are and have achieved and consider it as zero. We are now starting. And see the ends of the world and give ourselves till the day we drop dead. That's it. Until we are dead. Because you know, pastors, we don't retire. I hope you realize that. If we even retire, it will be 70. And even that, these days, 70 is looking nearer. 70 looks a little near now. Yes. It looked very far, but it's looking a bit near. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think in the Methodist said they retire at 70. Yes. So, I'm not sure, please. Don't quote me, but I think so. But So, listen to me. This is our time. Amen. Now, so I say, oh, but me, I'm not an evangelist. I'm just working at an IT, whatever. Yes. There is no way. You see, the tip of the spear, if you just disconnect the metal part and throw it, it will not go anywhere. It needs the long wooden part. So if you disconnect me, if you disconnect me from the things that hold me up, because the wood that is standing there is holding the tip. So if you take that wood off, the tip falls to the ground, it's useless. You can only throw it like a stone. But if you connect it to what is connecting it, and then you now throw it or shoot it, it goes very far. So there is no one who is alone. I am not standing on my own. Look, for one man to climb to the top of Mount Everest, you need a minimum of 200 workers to carry his things, not cars. Because at a certain point, no car goes anywhere. You need 200 Sherpas, they call them, who carry the load of different things, oxygen, food, and they keep trekking and going all the way up. And they drop, at a point they drop 100, then they drop 50, then they drop 20, like that 20, then 5, then 4, then the last 3, and then the one man goes to the top. Mm. There are so many dead people on that mountain. Yeah. They never came, and they are nicely frozen because it is all frozen up there. But you need to start with 200, then they shed off, it becomes 100, then they shed off, it becomes 50, then they shed off 20, 20, 10, 10, 10, 5, the last 3, the last 2, and then the one man goes on his own. So for one person to achieve a great achievement, a great, great achievement of climbing Mount Everest like some people have done, it takes a lot of people working behind the person or helping before one person can achieve such a great achievement. So for healing Jesus to achieve going to the ends of the world, there will be a time maybe we need a jet. There will be a time that we need buses. We may need this. We may need whatever. No one person can achieve this unless many people decide to support. When Bonnke was dying, you know, even before he died, so many people helped him. He had a lot of support from Germany because he was a German. Americans don't have support from Germany. Germans and so on, these type of people, don't support American and so on. But he went to Germany, and you see on one of the last videos before he died, he said, I say bye-bye to you, Avidazen, to the people. He came to see, because these people, German and Switzerland, and this German-speaking people, they supported him, specially, because he was their son, a son of their soil. Yes, and they supported him to evangelize and be in Africa and do all the things. He didn't do it alone. I personally met a man who worked for him. The man told me, I raised $24 million for Bernard Bonnke every year. I raised for $2 million every month for him to use. That's my work. Not that somebody told me. I met him myself. He told me, I raised for him $24 million a year. That's how he's able to do it. And that was his work, to raise the money and get supporters. Before he died, I met him in Brazil. And he told me, you know the secret to my crusade? And he told me, he mentioned somebody's name. He said, this man has helped me. It's the secret to my crusade. He's not alone. He knows it. And when he was dying, he told his wife, say thank you to this man. And it was the same person that he told me. And he's the only person he mentioned as he was dying on his bed. Because sometimes a person is about to die, he will say something. I know somebody was about to die. He told his son, I love you, before he died. I love you. But he said, say thank you to this man. He helped me. Hey, may you be one of the people mentioned that you helped. You did something. You helped for a great achievement to be achieved. A great goal to be achieved. A great accomplishment to be accomplished for God. Listen, there is a lost world. You see, there are many reasons to do this. Apart from the fact that they are lost, there's also the prophetic power and the angelic support that is coming now for what is a prophetic work for us to do. It's the evangelization of the world. Hallelujah. It's the going from nation to nation. Can you imagine as our containers arriving in a ship in different nations of the world? The logistics, organizing, the people, things to do, security, a lot of things, many, many things. Can you imagine the huge nations of Africa that are still waiting for us, like Nigeria, Ethiopia, Congo, countries ridden with many problems and many, many difficulties. What you can do is to support. For these prophetic two harvests are sure to come to pass because it's the prophetic will of God. You can see it in the Bible. And as Derek Prince said, is it a metaphorical blood or is it real? These earthquakes and famines and pestilence, is it metaphorical? Look at it. When I saw the film, they showed British choir was showing this now. They showed British Airways taking off, go to the ends of the world. When I saw that little clip, I said to myself, too late, because the plane that was taking off, they've retired all of them. Though that plane is not being used anymore. I said, no more. Yeah. You didn't go. Making films of the plane. That plane is not even in use anymore. They've laid it aside. This is our time and our moment. We need to travel. We'll be traveling. We'll be laboring day and night. We'll be preaching. Hallelujah. We'll be going to the ends of the world. For these two harvests are upon us. And I am here to encourage you. You know, just as people supported Reinhard Bonnke, today he's gone. You can't support him again, even if you love him today, whatever, uttermost. You can't support him again. He's even dodged the pandemic and gone out of the whole system. Beautiful. He's dodged the pandemic. When I see him in heaven, I'll say, hey, you did well. You know, a great man, when he's going out of this world, is a very, very important thing. I watched a little documentary about when Catherine Kuhlman died. And the nurse who attended to it, they had been given an instruction that they have a code that they give that if the person dies, don't revive. We are letting the person go. So she said they like those ones because it means there's no work. So they were watching. They were monitoring. And around 1 a.m., she went. And this nurse, who was the one there, said that suddenly the whole room was filled with a smell of roses. Yes, the whole room was filled with the smell of roses. So is that the supervisor, when the person died, the supervisor was called because she was a student. She called the supervisor. The person came. So this is where the roses, this is where the smell is coming from. This is where the roses smell is coming from. So we smelled about that. He said, you are not allowed to bring roses here. For the patient, maybe somebody will be allergic. Say, no, I've not brought anything here. And you know, Catherine Kuhlman, before she died, one of the last things, said that when I die, I want only roses at my funeral. Yes. The angel of the Lord, the presence, it was a special moment, 1 a.m., 13 a.m., when she went out of this world. The nurse had instruction, when she goes, don't touch. Leave her to go. She was small. I hear about 40 kilos, very small. Small lady, so many troubles, carrying power, carrying anointing. It's not a small thing when one person who serves God and one person who loves God goes out of this world. And God is letting us see practically great people who have stood for him, who have fought for him, fought for his name, in spite of all their personal troubles and issues. We are watching them all go into honor and into glory. May you be one of those people who have belief and faith in God and in his power. His power to redeem. There's nothing greater than a man who serves God and believes in his God and obeys God to the end of his life. And I know God is going to bless us if we start to believe in evangelism practically. Practically. Jesus himself said, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who lost a coin and she swept the whole house to find the coin. It's like a man who had 100 sheep, and because he lost one, he left the 99 sheep. That is a good shepherd, and this is the year of shepherding. To leave the 99 and fly to the one. The one lost sheep. The lost sheep. And then the son, in that same story, he told there was a man who had two sons. It's as if he didn't even like the son that was with him. It's not true. Don't think in the wrong way. You people, you keep on coming up with diagnoses which are not true and stories which are not the case. You think he doesn't love the old son. But the son that was lost will always be on the father's heart. Okay. Yes. Because he wants all his children. Don't you see how parents, before they die, say, stay together, you know. All of you, you must stay together. They always talk that way. call everybody. It's not that he doesn't love the old one. But the lost one is having attention, is having time. Beautiful. That's the lost son. There is a lost coin. There is a lost sheep. There is a lost son. There is a lost world. Paul said, if our gospel is hid, it's hid from those that are lost. So there's a lost world. That's our duty. For their sake, for our sake, for God's sake, let us rise like never before. I'll tell you something. No, this is just a tip. Those of you who support the church and all that, if you want to support, I'll tell you the favorite place. May God correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel, you know, because I'm in charge of all church, this. The heart of God is the gospel.
Yes, sir.
To me, I think it is his dearest spot.
Yeah.
You know how you can do something that you touch a person and he feels touched?
It's not metaphorical.
Yes, I think it is the highest heart. Because Luke 19 verse 10 says that Christ came into this world to save sinners. This was his aim.
Yes.
Yes. So brothers and sisters, let us become the greatest soul-winning church.
Hallelujah.
Yes. With aeroplanes flying, not for luxury. Let me tell you, if we even have a small plane, I don't know if we will. You see, if you've been in a small plane, you will know that you prefer a big one.
Yeah.
Yes. You prefer a big one. Any day. You haven't been in a small plane before. That's why you may even think that these little jets are something. But if you've been in a small one, you will always choose a big one. There's a big difference. If you've ever been in a small one, going up and down, this and that. No. Very uncomfortable. Yes. So let us do everything. Since I became a pastor, a car is not a luxury item. It is something we use to work. It's things to travel. It is work. All these things are the work. We do them to serve the Lord. And with that mind, God has shown me so many things I would never have seen. I didn't go to Zimbabwe to look at Victoria Falls. But as I was having a crusade there, I saw it.
Okay.
To the glory of God. You will see great things as you focus on doing God's work. Many things that are dreams for people, they will be given to you. Maybe when we have our crusade in Kathmandu, I'll be standing there and I'll say, I never thought I would have a crusade here in Kathmandu. And here is Mount Everest. Look at it there. I never thought I would see it with my eyes. It will happen practically and God will do great things. May you and all of us be a part of this amazing Healing Jesus campaign until the very end. Looking for the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, and the lost world. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, maybe somebody invited you to be a part of the Healing Jesus campaign service. I want to pray for you to give your life to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If you are here, give your life to Jesus Christ and be born again. If not, you'll be lost and lost forever. Today, Jesus loves you. He cares for you and he wants you. If you want to be born again, say this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me. Save me. And wash me with the blood of Jesus. Let me be saved today. Let my name be written in the book of life. I thank you, Father. I love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please write my name in the book of life. And help me to serve you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At this time, if you gave your life to Jesus and you prayed this prayer, there's a number on the screen there. Just WhatsApp. Send a WhatsApp to this number. It's a WhatsApp number. If you don't use WhatsApp, you can send a text to this number right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we are going to do two things. I'm going to pray with you for healing, and we are going to take our Holy Communion and have a special prayer for healing. And then after that, I'm going to ask you to give something very special to support Healing Jesus campaign. So if you don't want to give, you can turn off now so that you miss that part and you come back when the choir is singing later. But I know you want to give. Amen. Is it not beautiful? But I want us to pray for the sick and pray for healing for every sickness, every cancer, every diagnosis, every mention of any bad thing over your life. The blood of Jesus wipes it away and washes it away today. Take your bread. Take the bread right now, wherever you are. Take the bread.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.
Take your bread, everybody.
Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. It will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood,
now listen, in Genesis 41 and verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore. And all countries came to Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. Listen, the Bible says that the people cried for bread. Jesus said, this bread is my body. What you are crying for, and whatever crisis makes you cry, this is the answer. Amen. Jesus Christ is the answer. That is why our Catholic brothers, they hold the thing and they kneel down before it. Yes. This is Jesus. Yes. It is our Lord. You are about to receive the Lord. They cried for bread. They were crying to give us bread. That's why Jesus presented himself as the bread. Whatever you need and whatever problem you have, it is found, the answer is found in Jesus. Take the bread. Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus. We bow before him. And we say, Lord, come into our lives and satisfy us. Heal us. Save us. Let us not be famished anymore. Man shall not live by bread alone. It's not this earthly bread, but the bread that cometh down from heaven. And when they ate the bread, for 40 years in the wilderness, their feet were not swollen. I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Jesus. Our foot shall not swell, and no organ or no part of us shall swell. And our body shall not swell in death because of the bread, the body of Christ. We cry to you, and we receive Lord Jesus, you, into our lives as the bread of life that comes down from heaven, the body of Jesus Christ. Now take the wine. If you don't have wine, take Coca-Cola, anything you have. This is the drink. Lord, as we come before this wine, we now decree this to be the blood. Whatever is harassing us as a form of evidence, as a record against us, by the blood which can wipe away all ordinances that are against us, let this neutralizing power enter our souls and neutralize the evidence, the wickedness, the records, the judgments, the ordinances, the declarations that are against us through the blood. Let everything that comes up and pops up from our past, any wickedness directed at us, to pull us down. Let the blood answer for our mistakes. The blood of Jesus, Savior of the world. There's no blood like this blood.
Yes.
It's not the blood of bulls. It's not the blood of goats. It's not the blood of sheep. It's the powerful neutralizing, curse neutralizing blood of Jesus. And through this blood, we receive life. The cup of blessing which we bless. May you be highly blessed as you receive this cup of blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. The cup of blessing. Now lift your hands for your blessing. May Almighty God bless you and heal you. May Almighty God look down from heaven and shine His face and smile favorably at you. May your mistakes of the past not be brought into consideration anymore. For He said, I will remember your sins no more. May anything that links you to the devil, connects you to Satan, and has a way of bringing in demonic things into your life, may anything like that from today be cut off permanently in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Whatever mud remains on your legs and your feet from the miry clay that you were in, I declare that the mud is washed off your feet and off your legs today. Whatever opens a door for diseases, for plagues, for Satan to kill you, in the name of Jesus, I declare that that door is shut closed now in the name of Jesus. Whatever represents a fly or a hornet or a mosquito or an insect or a flying creature that has headed towards you and targeted you, I declare it's rebuked by the blood of Jesus. It's blocked by the blood of Jesus. It's overturned by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I declare an interception and an interruption of the wicked words speaking against you, of accusations, of lies, of wickedness spoken against your life by the blood of Jesus Christ. May that wicked idea of judgments be intercepted by the blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Be set free now and receive the cup of blessing. May the blessing of God be superimposed over your life and over your circumstances. Whatever is missing because of a curse, may the blessing override and overturn that curse the blessing of the Lord and the healing of the Lord. Now for your kidneys, for your eyes, for your brain, for your heart, for your lungs, for your blood, for your blood cells, your white blood cells, your red blood cells, your stomach, your esophagus, your kidneys, your small intestines, your large intestines, your liver, every organ, your womb, your genital organs, every presence of evil and every presence of sickness in you is healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive supernatural recovery. Recovery. I curse every virus, bacteria, parasite, and entity that is in you to die. Now I speak to your immunity. I speak to your antibodies. I speak to your white blood cells. I speak to all organs of defense. May you be defended. May you be defended against any invasion of sickness, of virus, of disease. Now, in Jesus' name, you are free from the plague. You are free from the disease. And you are free from the threat of death over your life. Everyone, lift your hand. I rebuke the fear of tomorrow, the fear of death, the fear of the unknown, the fear of premature death, premature dying, the fear of judgment. In Jesus' name, be free. The blessing of the Lord cover you from Australia to England to wherever you are. You are covered, you are protected, you are delivered, and you are healed. Now, whatever represents a long-standing chronic disease in your life, I speak death into that disease. You shall wake up and say, it's a long time since I experienced this thing. In Jesus' name, let this come to pass practically in your life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Be blessed. May the Lord bless you. And may He help you to overcome whatever represents a hurdle before you. I see a hurdle. It's like somebody's running. There's a hurdle. You are over the hurdle. You will not fall over this hurdle. You are over the hurdle. You are over the hurdle. You are over the hurdle. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Be blessed.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.